Sunday Studio for Sunday, the 26th of July, which is the 17th Sunday in ordinary time. Now, we had such an interesting conversation for the last 3 or 4 minutes. I forgot to ask you, is it the 26th of July, the 17th Sunday that you've prepared?
I hope so.
I hope so. I hope so too. Look, and if it's not, we'll be inspiring anyway. Let's take a moment, please, to introduce ourselves. Who do we have in this conversation?
So this is, I am Rocío Figueroa, a Peruvian Catholic theologian. I am here in Auckland.
Great, Rocío.
Kia ora. My name is Jelvin. So I must say I'm Filipino, and I'm working for the for Tekupenga Catholic Leadership Institute, and I'm based in Auckland.
It's Jelvin, and I'm Chris. Kia ora koutou. I'm working in what am I working in? Church mission here in the Archdiocese of Wellington. Bringing my background in pastoral ministry to the discussion as well.
Great. Great to be here in this conversation. I was just thinking, not so much who I am, because I'm okay with that, but where I am, I had to look out the window. I've been moving around a little bit, South Canterbury, in the last few weeks, Temuka and Pleasant Point, Fairlie, Twizel, Timaru, which I love doing, and also a couple of retreats in other places. So it's good to be together. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. We are especially aware that those who are listening will be carrying all kinds of opportunities, possibilities, and difficulties and struggles. So we are united because it is Christ who brings us together, and which makes our place wherever we are a holy place. And that's the reference of the entrance antiphon: God in his holy place. God who unites all who dwell in his house, God himself gives might and strength to his people. The holy place, I like that. The holy place, it used to be particular places, but now in Christ, the holy place is wherever we are. That's our place of encounter with Christ. I haven't crossed the line into heresy yet, being surrounded by theologians. No. Let's do it. What shall we say about these scriptures? Rocío, you said at the beginning, this is a favourite theme of yours.
It is indeed. Well, in particular, of course, it's all around the kingdom of God. Actually, the first reading is about King Solomon. And then Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. So, yeah, I would like to frame a little bit the conversation, because kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is the word most used by Jesus. Mm-hmm. He uses like more than 80 times when he talks. So it's quite interesting the fact that Jesus does not talk much about himself. He does not talk much about God. He talks more about the kingdom of God, which is quite interesting. No, you know, sometimes preachers talk more about themselves. And so quite interesting that he's not never doesn't make a reflection just about himself, but everything is about the kingdom of God. So
we'll see, open this up a little more for us. The kingdom of God, what does Jesus say the kingdom of God is?
So it's quite important to understand that it comes from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament kingdom, you don't find the kingdom of God. You find king, you find kingdom, but you find just twice kingdom of God. So that's the novelty. But of course, in the Old Testament, they have the idea of the kingdom, and the kingdom that first was a very imminent kingdom. So the typical Jewish tradition is the expecting the kingdom where God would reign, and they understood it in a very temporal way, that actually Israel would be the nation that dominates all the nations. Then with the exile, this idea of the kingdom changed a little bit. It was not so imminent. So post-exilium, it was more a kingdom that will come in the future. But it continue having this idea that is a mundane kingdom, no? That is a terrenal, earthly kingdom. And this is quite a difference, that because the kingdom of God preached by Jesus is absolutely different. It's not a spatial kingdom. It's about the reordering all the values of the society. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of compassion, of mercy. It's a kingdom where Jesus identifies himself with a kingdom, with this kind of kingdom. But he brings this, I would say, grace, the grace to renew life and to renew the way we relate each other, to renew societies, communities. That's what I how would I frame it.
Wonderful, Rocio. That's a great beginning.
And it's fantastic then to see in that context of where it comes from, when we're talking real kingdoms where kings lead, to jump into what Jesus is trying to do here when he describes it as being a treasure buried in a field. It's a fine pearl, and then it's even a good catch of fish. I mean, these things must have been hugely strange to people to make that jump from. We were talking kings a minute ago, and now we're talking fish, good ones and bad ones, and pearls. It's wonderful, isn't it? The genius of Jesus trying to sort of uncover a little more understanding in a different area with each of these wonderful little analogies he puts out of what the kingdom is like. I love it. I think there's so much in here to unpack.
Great.
Yeah, it's very hard to follow from the two great theologians here with us. But I probably would take on from that kingdom that we were talking in the first reading, because I think it's very, very relevant for us today. And two things come to mind when I look at the first reading. So I think about, well, first, I think about our world leaders of today. Like, if they only ask for wisdom or an understanding of heart, like in the like King Solomon, instead of putting wealth or power before them, probably we will not be where we are today. You know, there's a lot of conflict and war and all this power struggle, who is more powerful, who has the weapons and all that stuff. So maybe I was thinking, maybe we will be in a better place today. And then, secondly, it reminds me of Pope Francis's message to for the World Day of Social Communications, which was 2 years ago, 2024, and as well as Pope Leo's Magnifica Humanitas, where he said, "The heart is the inward place of our encounter with God. Wisdom of the heart, then, is the virtue that enables us to integrate the whole and its parts, our decisions and their consequences, our nobility and our vulnerability, our past and our future, our individuality and our membership within a larger community." So, in this age of artificial intelligence and an abundance, or probably too much information that we have, we need that understanding heart or the wisdom to filter the noise, and the distraction, you know, to really have that encounter with God and to know the difference between, you know, right or wrong, and to know the truth. So that's my take on
Wow.
that.
Now I'm nervous following three theologians. I'm really moved by how what does the kingdom of God, the reign of God take? Like for me to participate. And it's like if we can imagine this being asked directly of Jesus, like, okay, what does it take? Well, there is a clear answer. Everything, like all, everything you have. And that's repeated even in the shorter version, which is an option of the gospel, finishing each paragraph, finishing, sell everything you own and buy the field. Sell everything you own and buy the field, the place where the treasure is hidden. And I wonder if very often we compartment, we see the reign of God as being a part of our lives. So I've got my work part, and I've got my family part, I've got my social part, I've got my sport part, and I've got my God part. And it doesn't work. Like it ends up being a tension. Even the most beautiful thing of all, our faith, ends up being something we're trying to fit in. But there's an easier way. And while it sounds initially difficult, like let go of all you possess, Jesus says to the rich young guy, not let go of some things that are holding you back. Let go of all you possess and come follow. And this true following is only possible when we are free of everything. We're not grasping onto
And
anything.
I think that what you say, John, actually is the core of the kingdom, because it's about giving up the control of life. And because and I think it links with what Jelvin is saying. What is real wisdom? What is the wisdom? What is the kingdom of God? It's a in one way, it would say, is let God be God, which means that He is the reigning in our hearts and lives. And it's quite interesting, because the first reading they talks about discerning and between right and wrong. And I think that, as you say, Jelvin, in the case of the big leaders, that they decide for war, but us, that I don't know, we do not begin wars. And what is that discernment? What is our moral life really about for us? Sometimes the discernment is not about evil and good. Sometimes it's between two goods. Sometimes it's discerning, the moral life is to have the wisdom of what to do in a particular moment, or between two goods. So it's quite so what I think is this kingdom, it's about us leaving the control of the future. In the case of Jesus, it's quite interesting, because Jesus also had a crisis. In those two parables, we see that he's thinking that the kingdom is present now. Now, when he says, it's like finding a pearl now. But then the third comparison is in the future. And he says it will happen in the end, because he himself at the beginning thought that the kingdom was coming soon. And then he changes his perspective when he had the crisis in Galilee. And it's beautiful, because in the crisis, the people left him. He felt a failure. The crowds were not following him anymore. They were chasing him. So in that moment, he had to trust 100% in God, not in his deeds, not in his miracles. Now is the total trust that the future belongs to God. And I think it's, for me, that is the real wisdom of life.
Indeed.
Absolutely. I think I might just sit here and listen today. This is great. I think I'm really just picking up what you guys are saying, but it's about, I think of Solomon and that wonderful example. The logic of where Solomon found himself would have been to go for wealth or control, or, powerful ideas. And yet it's to have that heart formed by God that can sort of say, no, actually what I need here is the humility to ask for wisdom, because I can see how wisdom will help me again later on. And again, in each of the examples of the gospel about the kingdom, it's where the heart is convinced, formed by God, that's when we go there, we discover the kingdom happening. We're part of that kingdom coming and things. So yeah, just really picking up on multiple threads.
I love this. I'm getting more and more moved as we talk about this. You see, I believe that one of the ways that we reduce the kingdom of God is we call it the church, and then we think that at Pentecost we're celebrating the birthday of the church as we've created it, as we've known it, which is a series of diocesan and pastoral plans. But that's got possibly very little. And these are not bad things. Often they're very well motivated by great people. But in a way, if we let go of everything and seek only the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm sure we'll be singing that this Sunday everywhere. Seek ye first the reign of God, the kingdom of God. Well, if we do that, then whatever the circumstances are, this will be interesting. This will be a place where I can encounter God. Too often our prayer within this little, what's that line? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But too often our prayers are about God, please do this. Like, make it rain tomorrow because the farmers need it. Let the sun shine for the picnic. Improve my health. Give me a bit more money. Help the boss to get the idea to retire and go to a far off country. Like, all of these things we pray. But in fact, if we relax about those things and say, Jesus, whatever the circumstances are, you are present. Like, that's where the reign of God happens, not in us trying to create plans according to our own fears often.
I can't let go of the gospel yet. Okay. Let's carry on. So,
Go on.
I note that the reign of God and the presence of God here, as we talk about the kingdom of God. And I mentioned earlier, that the heart, that Pope Francis said, the heart is the inward place of encounter with God. And that took a different light in terms of looking at the gospel because, when we encounter God, he makes himself known to us. He's revealing himself to us. And just like the merchant who is searching for the fine pearl or the person who is looking for the treasure, they know the value of these and they are the experts in their field. And so if we let ourselves encounter God more and more, we become sort of experts in hearing and listening to God's voice. And that's where we encounter God. And I think that's when we realize the joy of being in his presence in the reign of God. And that joy transform us to make sacrifices, which is love, which is loving. And it brings down to Jesus' commandment of loving God and loving others. And we know that when we sacrifice for when we sacrifice, we are not left empty-handed, just like the merchant and the person who found the treasure. They know that they found the real thing, and so they're willing to sacrifice everything because of a greater value, which for us is the kingdom of God. And that's why I love the psalm. I love your commands, Lord. I love your commands. It is this joy of obeying God. And it's not the it's we don't see it as a burden, but we are joyful in following the commands of the Lord.
Love the fact too in the gospel how Jesus brings it back to this idea of understanding that you've been talking about there, Jelvine. But just a few weeks ago, it might have been last Sunday, when we heard about the parable of the sower, and they get to the end and they've got no clue what he's talking about. So they ask him, "Can you just elaborate, please?" And the gospel goes through what each part was. This time, Jesus fronts them straight away. So, do you understand all this? You can almost imagine them sitting there going, yes, of course, when they've got almost no clue what he's just been talking about. And then he comes out with that great line at the end that then every scribe has been instructed in the kingdom. It's like the head of a household who brings us from the story of the old, the new, and the old. And I thought, I wonder if Jesus in those circumstances went, oh, we'll just go away and think about it. Here's a final point on it. Rocio, have you been in class sometimes and ever asked them so you understand this and got a whole lot of yeses when you know it was rubbish? I don't know. I was thinking you're probably the one doing most of the teaching for us in these days. Jesus was so patient.
Yeah, so I'd like to talk a little bit about the second reading as well, because
Great,
this
Jovine.
is yeah, this is probably what we hope for when St. Paul says all things work for good for those who love God. So this love is what drives us to be good Christians, and when we fulfill our purpose, as Saint Paul says. So, because and there's this weird text about predestination, but of course we know that God intended us not for predestination, but He intended us to be with Him in His kingdom. So I think that's where the text is coming from. In the beginning, we are already destined to be with God, and because of our free will, what happened in the creation and disobedience and the freedom that we have. But because also of this free will, we can choose to do good, we can choose to love, and we could choose to be like Jesus, to be to fulfill our purpose and be with in the presence of God.
And I think, as you say, Jelvin, it gives us a clue of what type of kingdom is, because it's the church is not the kingdom, as you John were saying. The church cannot be identified as a kingdom. It is not, because we are absolutely limited, and it's not, and this world is not a kingdom at all. And also that gives us a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of hope for the future, a promise that finally, we will have this kingdom where love will be the center of everything. But also, I think the fact I love this reading when it says that Jesus becomes the firstborn. And sometimes we do not reflect enough, I would say, that what does it mean that he's a firstborn? That what does it mean that actually he is our brother? And being our brother is quite it's just really easier in one way to know the path. It's just follow him. So I think following Jesus for me is quite in one way simpler to understand, because to understand what to do, it is just in Jesus everything was about the kingdom of God. So everything was about choosing the marginalized. Everything was about compassion, love to the others. So I feel quite motivated when I see the firstborn that become that he's a firstborn and the brother, the big brother. And what is essential for him has to be essential for us. And it's a promise that makes me quite. In one way, not involved with the world, involved with everything, do my best, but at the same time, a little bit detached in the sense that it doesn't matter really much, in the sense that we can do our best, but we can be a failure. That's fine, because Jesus was a failure, and at the end, the kingdom, comes. So, it's quite refreshing.
I love the way very often that those who form the lectionary, like put together combinations of readings to appear on any particular day, throw some of these scriptures together. I don't understand it all the time, and sometimes it's almost impossible to see why. But if we go back to Solomon in the first reading, like Solomon asked, he could have asked for anything, but he asks for a discerning heart. And I just want to suggest a word about discerning hearts, because it's a pretty popular word. Everyone is discerning, but we simply think that we see discerning as the holy word for decision making. So most people make decisions, but I'm a Christian, so I discern. But in fact, someone who's discerning is presuming that God has a desire in this regard, And my desire is not to weigh up the pros and cons with the help of God, but to really get to the heart of what the desire of God is, or basically for me and for those around me and for the world. And therefore, discernment is not something we do when we've got a big decision to make, as much as it is a way of breathing. I sometimes think, when that angel appeared to Mary, did she discern whether or not to say yes or no? And the answer, of course, is, well, in that moment, no, because she had lived in such a discerning way that all she had to work out was, is this my own mind playing tricks? Is this some crazy man visiting? Or is this God? If it's God, there's only one answer, and that's yes. So the discernment is not so much, will I do this or that? Often we see discernment as getting the option, many options down to a couple, and then deciding, well, I know what God wants and I know what I want. Now I discern it. No, if this is what we are convinced God is calling us to, the answer is yes. The whole process becomes very simple if we are breathing discernment in every moment, living discerningly. So I've
In
just
the
dropped a spanner in the works by.
discernment, in the discernment, I agree with you. It's a little bit simpler and more complex at the same time, because it is like also like the temptations of Jesus. The temptations of Jesus was not between good and evil. The
I don't
temptations
think
of
it
Jesus
was.
is which is a real God. Is he the one who says, okay, throw you from the mountain, or is he the one who says, I just receive everything from God? So it's quite interesting, the temptations of Jesus, because he's discerning the real God
It's God.
in two different situations, and it's simpler, but at the same time more complex also. I would say.
So
Yeah, that's.
in recent, I'm sorry, Jovine, I you go.
Yeah, I just want to say that's why I love the last line of the psalm today. It says, "Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple." That's what is in our translation. And then the acclamation says, "Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven, or for you have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom." There we go again, the simple, the little ones. So I think we can take from the posture of, being simple and being that little one to understand more the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Indeed. So I've been around, as I mentioned, particularly on Sundays in small communities in recent weeks, particularly noticing that the homily is a real opportunity to say something, as you suggest, Jovine, that's very simple. So what would you say? I mean, a homily is not a lecture. It does need to be pretty well prepared. It needs to, connect with God and with the people. So, if you were doing that this Sunday, what would you want the people to go home with? Chris, you look most puzzled, so we're going to start with you there.
Oh, wowie, right. I think the thing I would be wanting to say to people is, if you think you've got the kingdom of God all wrapped up and defined, put it aside and look at these readings and think into them, ponder into them, pray with them, and just contemplate what they mean in terms of how they're different than what we think. They're just so such different explanations of what that kingdom is. So it's another one of those examples when you think you've understood it fully, you're guaranteed you haven't.
Ah, that's a great point. Do you know, just before we began, we were talking, Rocio and I, about a podcast that we did a few weeks ago for Food for Faith called What is Theology? So Rocio was on it, and Merv Duffy, known to many Food for Faith listeners, and also Tracy from Across the Ditch from Sydney. But one of the things that came up there that really stayed with me is, if we think we know, then we probably don't. If we think we've grasped God, no, we haven't. If we've finally written the perfect definitive book of theology, well, dump it. It's just not. That right,
Right.
Rocio?
Absolutely. And I think that the way also to try to see if we are approaching that kingdom or not would be the joy. Because he says, out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys the field.
Out of
So,
joy, yeah.
joy. Sometimes the way to discern, I would say, if we are acting according to the kingdom of God is the interior joy. So sometimes really we need to follow our heart. When we are, because the decisions that brings profound joy, it's that we are in the right path.
Yeah, indeed.
What makes us conflicted, bitter, sad. So it's always a good way also, because God is more intimate than ourselves. So a good way to discern what God is going into our heart and listening to our heart. And if there is joy in our heart, there is God.
Indeed. Wonderful. Amen. That is a very powerful point. Gosh, I could go off on one of my hobby horses here, but I'm not going to, because where there is joy, there is God. We're not talking about where there are superficial thrills, there's God. No, where there is joy, there is God. Oh, Jelvine, beat that.
I can't, but Saint Augustine sums it up all for me. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. So it's that joy. So we don't have to look elsewhere to find our treasure, the fine pearl. We just have to look inward into our hearts.
Indeed. Well, if you've, I hope that if you're listening to this, it's been inspiring as it has been a part of this conversation. But of course, the Homily Studio conversation is not just the four of us chatting here. It's all of us. Wherever you are listening, we are participants in the conversation, in the discerning conversation. Let's bring all of our prayers together. And again, if you are struggling, especially at the moment, perhaps yourself, perhaps those you love, if you have worries and anxieties that are burdening you, we're going to pray this prayer, this collect, this opening prayer for the liturgy of this weekend for you. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us. And grant that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that endure forever. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.